Welcome to this session on building a bass line for Old School Jungle and DNB in Ableton Live 12 without losing headroom. This one is for beginners, but the result can still feel properly heavy. The goal is not just to make a bass sound loud. The goal is to make it feel big, controlled, and ready to sit under breakbeats without crushing your mix. In jungle and drum and bass, that matters a lot, because the drums need space to punch. If the bass is too wide, too loud, or too crowded, the whole groove starts to blur. So today we're going to build a bass idea in Session View using stock Ableton devices, and we'll keep everything practical. We'll work with a mono sub, a mid-bass layer for character, and a simple phrase that leaves room for the breakbeat. We're aiming for that classic old-school feeling, dark, stripped back, moving enough to stay interesting, but clean enough that the drums can still do their thing. First, open a new live set and set the tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. If you want a solid starting point, 172 BPM is a great classic roller speed. Then create a few tracks, one MIDI track for your sub bass, one MIDI track for your mid bass, and one drum track with a breakbeat loop or a drum rock pattern. If you want to keep things simple, you can also add a return track later for delay or reverb, but we won't need that right away. Here's a beginner habit that will save you a lot of pain. Keep your levels low while you build. Don't start by turning everything up. Try to keep the master peaking around -6 to -8 dB while you're working. That gives you headroom, which means space for the kick, snare, and any extra processing later. In DNB, headroom is a creative tool, not just a technical thing. Now let's build the sub first. On the sub bass track, load operator. Set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it clean. You don't need fancy movement yet. Just a pure low-end tone that can hold the bottom of the track. Give it a short attack, full sustain, and a short release. Something like 0 to 5 milliseconds on the attack, and around 50 to 120 milliseconds on the release is a good starting point. Now draw in a simple bass line. Keep it minimal. You might use root notes, a few short syncopated hits, or a tiny call and response phrase over two bars. In old school jungle, simple often hits harder than busy. Try placing one note on beat 1, then another short note on the offbeat, then repeat with a small variation in the second bar. The sub should feel like it's answering the drums, not fighting them. Why start with the sub? Because the sub is the foundation. It gives you weight without clutter. A sine-based sub has the kind of low-end power that feels strong but doesn't add too many extra harmonics. That leaves room for the kick and snare, which is exactly what we want. Next, we'll add the mid-bass layer. Duplicate the MIDI clip onto a second track, and load Waveditable or another operator instance. For this layer, choose a saw or square-style tone, or something in that direction. Keep it relatively simple. You're not trying to make a giant modern wobble. You're aiming for a Reese-adjacent texture, something gritty, moving, and a bit unstable in a good way. A couple of voices of unison is enough to start. Keep the detune subtle. You want thickness, not a huge stereo wash. If you go too wide too early, the low end can get messy fast. Set a low-pass filter somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz to start, and keep the mid-bass lower in level than you think it should be. Its job is texture, edge, and movement. The sub still owns the real bottom. Now let's clean up the frequency rolls. On the sub track, add utility and set the width to 0% so it stays mono. That's really important. Sub frequencies should be solid in the center, because any stereo movement down there can cause phase issues and weak low end. If you need to, trim the gain slightly, but don't worry about making it huge with the fader. Let the sound design do the work. Add EQ 8 to the sub if needed, and only high pass if there's rumble below about 20 to 30 Hz. You usually don't need much here. The sub should stay simple. On the mid-bass track, add EQ 8 and high pass at around 80 to 120 Hz. That keeps it out of the true sub zone. If it starts sounding muddy, dip a little around 200 to 400 Hz. If it gets harsh, gently tame the 2 to 5k Hz area. This is one of the biggest beginner wins in bass design. Split the jobs. Sub does the low end. Mid bass does the attitude. Now let's add some tone. On the mid bass, try saturator. Start with around 2 to 6 dB of drive, then turn on soft clip if the signal gets spiky. After that, trim the output so the level matches what it was before the saturation. This part is important. Saturation should make the bass feel more present, not just louder. If it sounds better only because it's louder, you may be fooling yourself. If you want a little extra bite, you can also add drum bus gently. Don't overdo it. A little drive, a little crunch, maybe a touch of boom if you really need it, but be careful. Too much boom can eat headroom fast. For DNB bass, Subtlety wins. You want grit that translates on smaller speakers, not a huge distorted cloud that smears the groove. Now comes the musical part. Look at the bass line and think about space. In jungle and old school DNB, the bass does not need to fill every gap. In fact, if you leave room for the drums, the bass often feels even heavier. Try a simple call and response feel. One strong note, then a shorter answer, then maybe a rest before the next hit. Short notes can actually sound bigger than long ones, because they leave the kick and snare room to breathe. If you're working with a chopped breakbeat, listen to where the snare lands. You don't want the bass constantly stepping on those transients. Instead, place notes around the drums so they reinforce the rhythm. That push and pull is a huge part of what makes jungle bounce. Once the basic phrase is working, use automation to add movement instead of stacking more layers. This is where a lot of beginners can make a big upgrade. Try automating auto-filter cutoff on the mid-bass so the sound opens slightly at the end of the phrase. You could also automate a tiny increase in saturate or drive on the final note to create tension. Even a small level move with utility can make the bass feel more alive. And if you want a darker vibe, try closing the filter slightly on the second repeat. That can make the loop feel moody and underground without changing the notes at all. Now bring in the drums and listen to the whole thing together. This is where the track starts telling you the truth. Ask yourself, is the kick still punching through? Is the snare clear? Is the bass taking over too much of the low end? Watch the master meter too. A healthy amount of space is your friend. If the mix is starting to feel crowded, lower the sub by a dB or two. Shorten the note lengths, or back off the saturation a little. If the bass feels weak instead, don't immediately turn it up. First check whether the mid-bass has enough harmonics. A touch more saturation can help. You can also slightly extend the notes or increase the velocity on your main hits. But again, don't mix by just turning things up. In DNB, presence often comes from shape, timing, and harmonics more than raw volume. This is also the point where session view becomes really useful. Make two versions of the clip. Version A can be your stripped-back bassline. Version B can have one extra note, a tiny filter lift, or a little rhythmic change. This helps you think in scenes and energy levels, not just loops. For jungle and old school DNB, that's a huge advantage, because the track needs to evolve over time. A loop is a start, as scene-based workflow helps turn it into an arrangement. Think an 8-bar movement if you can. Maybe bars 1 to 4 establish the groove, then bars 5 to 8 add a little variation or tension, then you strip things back again. That kind of phrasing makes the music feel like it's going somewhere. It's not just repeating, it's breathing. Before you wrap up, do a mono check. If the bass falls apart in mono, your mid-bass is probably too wide or too facey. Keep the sub mono for sure, reduce unison width if needed, and avoid stereo effects on the low end. If the bass gets harsh, especially in the upper mids, soften it with a Q8 or reduce the saturation a little. Sometimes a tiny tweak is all you need. A few quick reminders as you work: keep the sub clean, let the mid-bass carry the dirt, and always reference the kick and snare together. A bass line can sound amazing on its own and still fail once the break is playing, so keep checking them together. And if you want more presence, try adding harmonics or changing note placement before you reach for more volume. Here's a great mini exercise to finish. Build a 2-bar bass line at 172 BPM using operator for the sub and wavy-dable for the mid layer. Make one version clean and one version a little rougher. Keep the sub mono, high past the mid-bass, add a little saturation, and test both versions against a breakbeat. Listen for which one leaves more headroom and feels stronger at low volume. That's usually the one that's working better. The big takeaway is this: in jungle and DNB, controlled low end creates more power than an overloaded mix. If the drums have room, the bass feels bigger. If the bass is focused, the groove feels harder. So think in layers. Keep your sub simple, give your mid-bass a job, and use space as part of the sound. Nice! You've now got the core workflow for a session-ready bass line that can sit under old-school jungle drums without eating your headroom.